We left off last time with the Rajda's solution to Tosfos' problem. This Mechilta that seems to stick out like a sore thumb. In the midst of a Mishnah and so many Gemaras that are busy working on, at least as a Havni, if not as a Maskana, learning one Avnezek from another Avnezek and making drushes from this to that, we have a Mechilta that ain't no Shimonides. Says the Rashba, don't worry, that mechilta is a very, very limited scope. It's only bar. And why bar? Because after all, bar is a chiddush. Bar is yotzei min haklal. Bar breaks the mold in three ways. Number one, it doesn't move. Number two, it's not yours. Number three, the Nizak came to the Mazal, which presumably means, particularly for those who are learning Perek HaMiniach, that the Nizak bears some responsibility. And if I was stationary, if my property was stationary, and it was attacked by a fire that spread to my property, if I or my property are stationary, and your animal comes along and runs at us and attacks us, the victim was not a participant, the victim doesn't bear any liability. It sounds like the third idea, the Nizak comes to the Mazik by Bar, means that we understand the Svarta, we understand why that reduces the chance that I should be Chayiv for my Bar HaMazik. Because look, especially again, especially from a Perek HaMiniach perspective, we start making that calculus of there was an accident, who's responsible, who's more responsible. Yes, I dug a Bar, I left a dangerous situation open. On the other hand, you walked into it. So it sounds like the liability maybe should be shared. The fault should be shared. And that's again with Perek HaMiniach. Thank you. Right? So we understand well the Rajba's third Svara, that the fact that by Bar the Nizak has to walk into the Mazik, walks into the jaws of the Mazik, so to speak, which is not the case by Shor Ba'esh. Do you understand well why that would have been a reason not to learn Bar from the others? But that's the reason why fundamentally it's a very different type of mazik. It's a chiddush. That's yotzei min haklal that bar is chayav in the world. So the Torah tells us that chiddush, that's not something that's necessarily generalizable. You can't darsh from that. I get that. And then the question is, we left off last time, but what was the Rashba's first chiddush? The bar is eino holeich u'mazik. I mean, yeah, you know, it doesn't move, and therefore, point number three, the Nizak comes to the Mazik. How are points one and three independent ideas? The whole significance of Einah Holeich U'Mazik sounds like it's the fact that since the bar and the Mazik, the bar doesn't move, the Nizak must have moved, and therefore the Nizak took part, Nizak himself, or itself, or herself, participated in the Maaseh. So it remains to be understood. Now, so this is something that needs understanding. What's the Rashba driving at? I would suggest understanding this Rashba is tied up with all of the other critical issues that are here. Now, where did the Rashba get the fact that we see Eino Holeich U'Mazik as a kula of bar? That's not the Rashba's finish. Who already said that? Oh, a bar is not Holeich U'Mazik. The Mishnah said it. What's interesting is that the Rashba puts that as something separate to and parallel to and separate from, you know, the Nizak went to the Mazik. As though there's some other significance to the bar not being Holeich U'Mazik. That gets us thinking, and the truth is, that gets us thinking also about what's the separate significance of Holeich U'Mazik. The Shor and Eisha Holeich U'Mazik and bar is not. And by the way, that came right after which other Svara? Rachai. First the Mishnah said, well, Shor and Mava are Rachai as opposed to Eish. And then even Eish, doesn't have Rachai, but at least Eish is similar to Shor Mava in that Holeich U'Mazik as opposed to Bar, which not only doesn't have Ruach Chaim, isn't even Holeich U'Mazik. So both of those require that. We need to understand what's the Chiddush of Ruach Chaim, and then what's the unique Chiddush, unique Svara of Holeich U'Mazik that the Rashba is presenting, apart from just the fact that therefore the Nizak must have been mobile and the Nizak must have participated. So both Svaras in the Mishnah require understanding. So let's take a look. Now, the Tosaf Ben Peretz and the Shittim Kuvvet says do address the Ruach Chaim discussion. Ben Peretz, I don't know if you have. Shittim Kuvvet says you do have. I give Ben Peretz as well. Yeah, okay. The Tosef in the Peretz, if you have muscle kare ha'esh, let's take a look at Sheet of Gemesis first in that case. Okay, the Tosef in Peretz, the guy to look at afterwards, it's one line in the midst of a different kash in Peretz, that's relevant. So let's take a look first at the Sheet. So the Sheet, once again, what the Sheet of Mukubet says is an anthology. I mean, it's like in the Kros Gedolos, I think I mentioned the other day, and he put together by Rizal Ashkenazi, who I believe is assumed to have been the Arizal's Chavrusa for Nigla. Arizal learned Nistar and he learned Nigla. So during his Nigla Seder, there's Gemara and Postum Seder, so supposedly his Chavrusa was Rizal Ashkenazi. Rizal Ashkenazi put together, he lived in the 1500s in Tzfat, put together collections of Rishonim. We just go over to the shelf and there's a whole set of Rumuraj, there's a whole set of salmon colored mitzvahs, and a whole set of either black or green Rambans, and Baruch Hashem. Everything's accessible. But the Sheet of Mukubet says is, before Sfarim were so accessible, so he went around getting his hands on copies of different Sfarim and made sort of like a Mikros Gedol. So each line of Gemara, he would give you with all the Rishonim chunks, quotes from all the Rishonim on that line of Gemara. The next line of Gemara. All the Rishonim that he had. The different places have different pieces. But sometimes he'll quote things that we have on our own. He'll quote Rajbas, we have our own Rajbas as well. Sometimes it's still illuminating, maybe it's a different Yirsa, a different twist. And then he'll quote some that we don't really have access to or have a harder time getting access to. So you hear he quotes Rabbeinu Yehonasan. Kareha Eisha Eim Baruachai. Rabbeinu Yehonasan says, well, the Ilokas de Rachmana Behedya. Now let's unpack what the Mishnah is just saying. If the Torah would not have behedya means befeirish. If the Torah would not have written it befeirish, which is it, ish, habami is the niftar. I would have thought that it is potter. Why? Kolomar. What does that mean? And then that's what the Mishnah said. And what does the Mishnah mean? Kolomar. D'cheivon she'ein bo ruach chayim. Well, since it's not alive, so what's the significance of not being alive? You know, why being alive is a reason? We had asked this last time. Being alive, anything is a reason. It's not my fault. It's the animal's fault. Why is being alive a reason? Why is being alive more of a reason to be chayiv, and being inanimate is more of a reason to be? Patri says, oh, because fire can't move unless there's a koach achem urubo, unless there's some other force that's being hardest to move it. The wind blows and the fire spreads. No wind, the fire's not going to spread nearly as much. And that theme of koach achem urubo will be recurring again and again in the next couple of blocks. So it says, Rabbi Yosef said, that's the point of Ein Bo Ruach Chayim. Ein Bo Ruach Chayim, and therefore, it's not independently mobile. It can't decide to go. It can move if the wind is blowing. If the wind's not blowing, it's not going to move far. Certainly not nearly as much. So dinhu, it makes sense. Shalola knososo. We should not punish. You put it in Russian knas. We shouldn't punish the Baal Ha'esh. Aba Beregel, the Keren, Yeshbet Rachaim. They are alive. If you have an animal, whether the animal is just trampling over things, the animal is in attack mode. Keren, Regel, either way, they're alive. Therefore, Kol Esher Otsin LaHazik, Yicholin LaHazik. Any time that they want to be mazik, they can choose to be mazik. It's not dependent on external circumstances. And therefore, it makes good sense that we should penalize you for that. But what did Rabbeinu Yonasan says, let's unpack it. Well, what did he just say? And by the way, Rabbeinu Peretz, who I believe lived somewhat before Rabbeinu Yonasan, if you want to take a look in Dima Masel Kareish, look again at Rabbeinu Peretz on the shelf, Dima Masel Kareish, he's asking, I didn't give it to you the Marvel Comics because he's in the middle of a different Kash and Teretz. At the very end of the Kash, right before Yesh Lomer, he has a line where he says, oh, Eish is Prohav Murubo, meaning the wind, well, the kach ain't a hole that's medaito kemo shalom. The Esh can't march on its own like a shark. So it seems like he's already saying the idea that Rabbi Yonasan is far more explicit than that. But the question is, Micah, how do you answer the question? Well, you're trying to explain to me why Ruach Chaim is a reason, is a tzad l'chayim, and Emor Rachaim is a tzad l'ftar. Why? Because since the animal is Ruach Chaim, therefore it can, b'chol eis, at any time it can choose to do damage. While Eish cannot do damage at any time, unlike Shahar, only when the wind is blowing. And therefore, what does that do with the price of tea in China? Well, why is that a reason for me to be more, I should be more chayim on Shahar because it can always be mazik. I should be less chayim on Eish because it can't always be mazik. And therefore, it can only be mazik, and therefore, keep.
Well, if,
oh,
brief,
me.
Here? Oh, okay. I'm think that you should, since you know it has a greater chance of, on its own, of being mazik, then you have to be more careful.
I have to be more careful, yeah?
I was going to say the same thing. You need to place guard, safeguards.
You have to be more careful, yeah? You have to be more careful, no? Yeah?
Can I not say that by fire also? Because you don't know when the wind is going to what's called. When the wind is going to come, so you have to make sure that your fires are all completely guarded.
Oh, okay, good. So Lamasa, there you go. See, that makes an important point. Remember, Lamasa, the Torah does in fact say that you are Chayav Hanish. And in part because the wind could blow and therefore you have to be careful. But had the Torah not told, it's not as obvious that you're Chayav Anshar as that you're Shiva Chayav Hanish. And therefore, had the Torah only said, had the examples in Chumash of Nezek only been my animals, then, I would, and then you would want to say, oh, well, it's the same thing to my father. Say, no, because Mala animals, Shekane, they could be Mazik at any moment. And therefore, it's even more likely that I should be paying than otherwise. Now, look back at the Mishnah. Look back at the Mishnah. What else in the Mishnah speaks to this issue? What else in the Mishnah speaks to this issue? I'm going to invite her. At Sarah Shavuot Shavuot, she darkened the Hazak, U Shmirasan Alecha. U Shmirasan Alecha. In other words, that's rooted in the Chi of Shmir. And one of the things that seems to be emerging from Ben Yonasan and Ben Peretz is that they don't say explicitly, but again, it seems pretty clear that what's mechayev you for paying for your nezek is the fact that you were poshayev. You let your guard down, and that's what you have to pay. And the truth is, there are a number of achronim who see motion within the Mishnah. I heard this 20 years ago from a shefter in Baal Kama. I started looking around, and I discovered Birkas Avraham has this idea, Rav Shach and Avi Ezri has something along these lines. And the truth is that the Baruch Ber already has something along these lines, and at least this basic idea of thinking about the question of why is it that I'm chayev? Why is it that I'm chayev for Mamoni Shehizik? The truth is, if you look at the Rambam, if you look at the language of the Rambam, when he opens up Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, Chanefesh Chayesh Ibirshu Social Adam Shehezika, any live creature that's in my Rishus and it caused damage, Abaylam Chayavin L'Shalem, the owners have to pay. Why? Shaharei Mimonam Hizik. Because your property did damage. The simplest reading of that, the Shach points out in Avi Ezri, which is a Sefer Rambam, on that Rambam Al-Hal, the simplest reading of that, it sounds like if I'm an Adma Mazik, if I did damage, so I have to pay because of what I did. So I could have said also that if my animal does damage, Tara's mechadish, but not am I chayiv for my own ma'asa, but I'm chayiv for my animal's ma'asa as well. I'm not chayiv, to an extent I'm even responsible, let's give a loose mashal. I'm not allowed to, it's forbidden for me to allow my animal to do malacha on my behalf on Shabbos. Like if my animal wants to munch grass, that's a malacha of kotzer, but it's doing it because it's hungry, that's totally fine. Absolutely permissible. My animal can graze all it wants to on Shabbos. But to allow, if my dog knows on its own to have a hunting dog, my dog will on its own, catch birds for me, that's a problem. I have to make sure that doesn't happen. My donkey will if it's, I'm going to load up the donkey, and it's going to go carry packages for me, Rosh Hashanah, then that's mecham. That's a violation of Shvi'is Beima. I'm obligated to make sure that my animal doesn't do acts of Chilul Shabbos on my behalf. Right? Those two, it's not to the same extent. It's not for my animal to do malacha, it's not the same as my doing malacha. I'm not high stila if my animal does malacha. But I am responsible for the ma'asim of my behemoth. That's part of the idea of Shvi'is Beima. I'm liable, to an extent, for my animal's activity. So Torah is mechadish in Hilchos Shabbos. It doesn't necessarily apply, it's not true by shatnez, let's say. I'm allowed to, my animal can wear shatnez in the morning. So my animal cannot be mechal Shabbos for me. My animal can be mechal Shabbos for herself. My animal cannot be mechal Shabbos for me. I'm responsible for my animal's masa. So you could have read Shar HaMazik like that. This is a little bit different. What Achrom suggests, a little bit different than Rabbeinu Yehonah's thing. The same maskana, but a different problem. That you could have imagined that I'm chayif my animal because it did a maisa nezek. Why are you chayif for Shar? Because there's a maisa nezek that was done? Or because you're paying for your irresponsibility. Adam HaMazik, presumably, you're chayav for the ma'isa that you did, even if you were not irresponsible. Take a look. You flip to deeper into Masechet Bava Kamma. Right at the end of Perek Tzadarega. Adam Mishnah says, Adam Ur Liolam Bein Shogig Bein Nezid Bein Erev Bein Yashin. A person is always, you always have to pay for Adam Mishnah. Whether you were sleeping, whether you were awake, whether you did Bein Shogig, whether you did Bein Nezid. In some Mishnah, the discussion, Tosfos Ramban, everyone agrees that Adam, you even chayev an Adam Mazik Ba'onas. I was trying not to, and despite my efforts, I ended up being Mazik anyway. This is my focus on the